You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
All right, huddle up, huddle up. We're going to crank these engines up on one, all right? Wait, set. Drivers, start your engines.
This is the finish line.
I coached some great offensive linemen in the past. Larry Little, Dwight Stevenson, Jim Langer, all Hall of Famers, and Richmond Webb belongs in that same group.
Here are your hosts, legendary Miami Dolphins left tackle Richmond Webb, Reason, and Mr. Ballgame.
What's good, Dolphin Talk Nation? We welcome you back into another episode of The Finish Line. As always, I'm your host, Reason. I'm joined by the legendary Richmond Webb and the triple OG speed racer, Mr. Ballgame, the pool man. And you can follow any of us on Twitter. You can follow Richmond at Richmond Webb. You can follow Ballgame at KCTSR. You can follow myself at the underscore real underscore reason. You can also follow Dolphins Talk at Dolphins Talk on Twitter. How you guys doing tonight? I know ball games, blood pressure is boiling, but how are you doing, Richmond? How's everything going with you, bud?
Hey, man, it's all good down here in Texas, other than the COVID numbers shooting up, which I think is a concern, not just here in Texas, but several areas, you know, around the United States. But the good thing is, like they say on Monday Night Football, let's get ready for football. And training camp has definitely started. I think, it was kind of rough during the offseason, waiting, the anticipation, went through some of the quarterback schools, the camps and stuff, but now it's here. So ready to talk about training camp or whatever else we're going to talk about. So everything's good on my end. How you doing, Mr. Ballgame?
Man, I'm cool. I just, Life is life, and sometimes, you throw in a monkey wrench that you really have to just look at it and just be like, you know what, I'm going to kick it over to the side for now. I ain't going to have to deal with it for a bit. So it is what it is. I'm trying to do it. I got a lot of moving parts around me, but the best thing about it, man, is I get an opportunity again to be with you two esteemed gentlemen and talk about this team that we love, and I'm going to focus my energy on that because this whole pool thing got me hot right now. I'm telling you that right now, boy.
Well, if you're hot, jump in the pool.
Ah, yeah.
All right. I want to send apologies prematurely to Xavier Howard for what Ballgame is going to say tonight, because he's about to be ruthless. All right. So let's start off with Xavier Howard. Obviously, the topic is, in recent days in the Dolphins world has been Xavier Howard. He formally requested a trade a few nights ago. Since then, it's come out. Rondo Salguero put out an article talking about how basically what he's asking for is either 2024 money to be moved up to this year in the total of $4 million, or for his money in 2022 to be fully guaranteed. Now, not really unreasonable, but at the same time, he kind of tried to put the Miami Dolphins organization on blast, whether people want to hear it or not. There's just a lot to decipher with the whole X thing. Richmond, we'll start with you. You're a former player. Let's get your thoughts on the whole Xavier Howard situation. Some people are calling it a move of desperation. Other people are saying, between him conveying to them back in October, he was openly willing to take a trade when they're listening to offers. And now it seems they're kind of slow rolling, getting the ball moving, whether listening to offers or whatever the case may be. Now he's trying to expedite the process, whether it means money in his pocket or him being moved to another team. What are your thoughts on the whole situation?
Yeah, I think, he's just, to me, I think he definitely let that know, but the team, you know, has him under contract. So I guess he was trying to force them to make a decision, like you're saying, either trade me or, you know, pay me, or let's try to work something out. And like I said, came out with the Instagram posts and this and that. And I guess the thing about that was, you know, he kind of, I guess, stated everything that he had tried to do or try to work with the Dolphins. It's the only thing that I think from what I read in the post, he said something about at the time when he signed the deal, he really didn't know what, you know, he was signing. Mm-hmm. And that's not really the team's fault. That's, you know, your representation, your agent. And I'm not sure if this is the same guy, but if not,
it's,
you know,
different. It's different.
It's, yeah, a different, it's different guy, but you can't hang your hat on, you know, I didn't really know what I was signing, this and that. But the good thing was, you know, and we had talked about it on the show, was, you know, possibly the Dolphins guaranteeing money to kind of make him happy, because at one point it seemed like it was coming out that he wanted to be the highest paid guy on paper and not necessarily by guaranteed money. So when I read that, I was kind of happy that, and I think they're going to try to work it out. It's just, they're just dragging their feet, and I don't know if it works out hopefully before the season, but if not, the only thing is they got him under contract. But you don't want a guy in the locker room that's disgruntled, that's one of your best players on the team. A lot of time that cancer can kind of spread and cause division and stuff like that. So with the way everything is set up, the way the team is, the defense and everything is, if you can get it resolved, I think it's just in the best interest of both parties and definitely the team. And we can hit the season rolling on all cylinders. And, man, I'm excited because I think the offense is going to actually be a little bit better than what I was kind of – I thought it was going to be a little bit behind the defense. Mm-hmm. But if everything keeps progressing, we're going – it's something to really be excited about. So I want to get that piece worked out, because if we get X situated, man, it's going to be something serious out there.
Ball game, what are your thoughts on the whole situation?
Well, first things first, bro. I see both sides, right? And when he reportedly, through his Instagram post, said that he was just, you know, he put out there that, you know, wanted the $4 million in difference brought from 2024 forward and then guaranteeing 2022, I don't think that's an unreasonable request, especially considering you got the guy on contract through that whole time frame anyway. So he's just moving around money that was already going to be paid to him if he actually saw the full end of the contract, which I don't believe will happen anyway. He's talking 3 years from now, and I doubt he's going to be around past the age of 30. So I get it from his side, and I don't think that's an unreasonable request to the Dolphins. I think the biggest thing right now, bro, and what someone outside of this, maybe a third party, need to be expressing to the Dolphins is that you're in a unique window right now, and egos, right, in this situation don't need to be at the forefront and ruin what you've already worked so hard towards, and look at the request for what it truly is and just honor it, because you save face in the league. It's not a new contract, so you don't have to worry about changing or having the other 31 teams looking at you sideways like, why'd you do that? Why'd you give the guy a new contract? You know, you don't have that pressure, because it was already money that if he showed up and he did his job, he was going to get anyway. You're just moving it around. So in that instance, they save face. He gets what he wanted out of the deal, and then you can continue on with no hiccups on this defense, which I think is going to be extraordinary with him. It'll be a little different looking without him, and that's not something I think you really want, especially if you have to go through the process of waiting for this offense to matriculate and actually be able to match the production of the defense. So egos can't be and shouldn't be the reason behind why you're not sitting down with this guy and making this thing happen, so both parties can go ahead and amicably be going about the business of looking at everything else. Now, I've been sitting around with some time to myself, thinking to myself that maybe, just possibly, they're making him sweat it out as a way of saying, like, okay, don't be out here in the streets putting the business out no more. We had intentions of paying you, but, you know, saying this is why we did this. You learn your lesson now, type of thing. And then right before the season starts, because there's this whole week before the season starts, that after that third preseason game, I think we don't even, you know, we're not playing, and then the season starts, they can actually have the roster pretty much trimmed down of those 90 down to who's going to be on practice squads, get all that figured out, and all that money that we can get back could be money that they could be looking at, they're going to go ahead and give him, and then go forward and then figure out the rest of the contract next year. Now, I get there's a lot of different ways they can go with this. I'm hoping that's one of them, right? I think that's a smart way to go, right? And then you can also kind of figure out where you fit Emmanuel Ogbar into that process too, so now you don't have two disgruntled players on your roster. Take care of both of them, get it done, and get it out of the way before the season starts. And they can go into the season and just focus on the job at hand. So that's kind of where I sit, man. I don't blame anyone other than the Dolphins right now at this point for being big bank. And you see little bank trying to get paid just a little bit more. Go ahead and pay the man. It's already in the contract. It don't need to have these ego-filled issues back and forth. Your Flores talking in his presses about, you know, saying they're going to continue to work on trying to come to some type of agreement. Well, no, just get it done, bro. I mean, what he's asking is not unreasonable at this point. I don't at any point think that adding $4 million on to his salary, right, this season, right, what does that put him? Number one? Mm-hmm. At the cornerback spot?
Yeah.
You get paid off of the previous year's performance. So
yep.
On the team. So that put him at the top. He is the best player. Making slightly more than Jalen Ramsey would be making because Jalen didn't do what he did. I'm okay with that because you're moving money that he was going to probably, if he made it to the end of the contract, he was going to get anyway. So it's not that big of a deal. It's not anything. It's not really new money, which, you know, everybody was thinking that was the case, but that's not the case. So just give him the money and be done with it and get on about this, man, because it's just this team is too young. And I think based on what we've seen just in these first couple of days of training camp, there's too much positive stuff that we're seeing, right, with these young cats coming in with all this new energy to have this type of situation lingering for too long, you know. But, you know, that's just my stance, man. I'm not mad at anyone. I'm just a little disappointed in how they're conducting themselves on both sides.
Let me ask you guys this. Richmond, we'll start with you, and we'll go to you, ball game. What's your gut feeling on how this ends? Because – unless the money's ponied up by week one, I don't think this ends amicably.
Right.
Amicably, sorry.
I think for me, I just said, and if anybody's out there listening that's tuning in, I think the most reasonable thing to do is just pay the money right before the season starts. And then that's the kicker, right? That's what he got. The vast majority of his money was for the season, but the season actually starts week one. That's when you're actually getting the guy to, you know, that's when you really depending on the guy to be ready and, you know, you getting what you really want from him. So just pay him the week before. Call him in, get it done. You got your money back from those contracts that are null and voided now at the point of guys that you cut and moved away from doing training camp. You got 90 people on the roster, so that's going to bring some money back. And if you need some more, then you just pull it from another, you know, pull it forward and pay it and be done with it. But I think they're just trying to, along with bringing in a new coach brings a change in the culture too. Right. And I think that's probably one of the hardest things for everybody to get on board with. Unfortunately, this culture change is happening at the same time that our number one player balled the hell out. So it puts everybody in a really precarious situation, bro. You know, but the culture has to change and has to be a part of the success the foundational success that we're going to have going forward, and there's no way really around it, you know, and it's unfortunate that he happens to just be the one caught in the bullseye right now, you know what I mean? The target's on him. I hate it for him, but, I mean, we've been stuck in a traditional mire for a while. Like, you know, we've been 9-7, 8-8, 9-7, 10-6, 9-7, 9-7, 8-8, 7-9. That's my, you know, we're still on that same gerbil. And in order to change any of that, the entire way we went about doing business has to change. And unfortunately, like I said, it just happened to be that his ex turned up and he had that phenomenal season. Nobody predicted it. Doesn't matter. Pay the man the $4 million because, hell, what he did was phenomenal. And it brought you more attention to the organization than anything. Like, there's people that weren't Miami Dolphin fans that bought jerseys now at this point that can be tuning in to see what happened just off the fact that yeah, they want to see if Xavier Howard can get 10 more interceptions. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, there's all sorts of crazy bets out there at Vegas and things of that nature. You know, good pub, bad pub, it's all the same, bro. Just pay the man the $4 million and be done with it and move on.
What do you see, how do you see it ending, Richmond?
Yeah, I will agree. I think if it lingers on past end the season, I don't think it'll be good. I think he'll be disgruntled, and I just think as far as the locker room, that's not a good situation to be in. So even if they want to negotiate on the $4 million, say, okay, we'll give you 2.5, we don't give you the 4, but at least if you, that's what negotiations for. But at least I think that'll make him feel better, or you know, some kind of way they can work it to where they can give him some more guaranteed money or whatever, to where I think it'd be get amicable. But I think the longer it lingers, the more it could become a real bad distraction. And so I think the thing with it is some people going to take his side and some people going to say, well, I ain't in it. And some people going to kind of agree with the team. So the best thing to do is just try to resolve the situation and get that worked out before the season starts. I think that'd be the best thing to do, but we'll just have to wait and see.
Okay, so let's move on. Before we get into our roster prediction, let's talk a little bit about training camp so far, because you know the pads aren't on quite yet, but you know, there's been stuff happening. You know, 2 days in a row now, Albert Wilson's caught 65-yard bombs for a touchdown from Tua. Tua's balling out. Albert Wilson looks fantastic. Jalen Waddle looks fantastic. Just what are some of your guys' thoughts? Now, I know pads don't come on until Tuesday of next week on the 6th day of practice fully, but what have been your guys' early impressions on of training camp?
Mine have been really good. Like you said, the question is I really like the way Tua's been throwing the football. I think that's going to answer a lot of questions. A lot of people didn't believe in this young man. The thing that comes into part once the pads come on is how well or how effective the offensive line will be as far as giving him that protection, because it's different when you're going through 7-on-7 or whatever like that, and it's just the DBs and linebackers working against the receivers and running backs. You know, you run your routes, you get your timing, this and that, and you throw the ball. But the key factor is what's going to happen up front. So, you know, we had a lot of young guys last year, but those guys got to make you know, improvement or drastic steps, just like we expect Tua to make. So the better we play up front, the better I think the whole unit is. I think we're loaded at the skill position, especially at receiver. I think Tua's worked hard this offseason. I'm expecting big things out of him. Now let's give him the time to showcase the type of quarterback that we know he can be and utilize the weapons that we have on offense. So that's what I'm looking for, because that's going to tell the story is where we really are once we – get the pads on and start seeing the big guys get after it up front.
What have been your thoughts, ball game?
Well, you hit it on the head with Albert Wilson, bro. So I gotta take my hat off to you on that one. I didn't think he'd come back as a slouch or anything, but I didn't think he'd be lighting it up like he has in the last 2 days. So hats off to you for calling that one. I can't say I'm surprised, though, to be truthful. Albert's always been a professional. You know, the injury bug seemed to always hit him at the wrong time. But the fact that he's out there getting after it the way he's getting out there, it motivates the young guys, I think, because I think there's an active competition now for all of these guys in that wide receiver room. They're looking to step it up. You see names being called and guys doing things that, you know, I didn't anticipate hearing about. You know, the biggest thing for me right now is the number of injuries to that room. But I think that's a blessing in the fact that they had 13 guys in the room. So, even it gives everybody an opportunity to step up, you know, and they get a full, this coaching staffs get a full on hands view of guys that probably, if the starters weren't hurt, they probably wouldn't get as many reps and things of that nature. So I think that benefits a lot of these guys that are on the bubble, potentially are making the roster or that they're thinking about practice squad. And it's a really good situation for them. I'm old school, bro. So for me, football ain't football until the pads come on.
Yeah.
But I can appreciate guys being professional and their craft in terms of their route running and still doing certain things of putting DBs in precarious situations to make sure that the DB can't make a play on the ball and catch the ball in traffic and things of that nature. Those things are going to always be there. But for me, I temper all my, you know, all my anticipation and, you know, hype about stuff. I kind of, until the pass come on, I get, like Richmond said, get to see the big guys out there moving around and guys get to really put their hands on you, you know, and disrupt you completely, right? You know, right now we just got 11 on 11. I think I would call it 11. I would call it 11 on 11, you know, 7 on 7 style, you know what I'm saying? Which is it all.
It's underwear Olympics, bro.
Yeah. It's all, you know what I'm saying? It's all good. Yeah. You know what I mean? It all works. It all goes towards the end goal. So, you know.
And Saturday, July 31st will be the first open practice to fans. Like I said earlier, Tuesday, August 3rd, the pads will be on. So, you know, because today, I don't know if you saw the reports, but Raekwon Davis was apparently just dominant today, getting up through the middle, some leaky line play up the middle. I know on one play, him and Adam Butler both got up the middle free and clear. So, you know, it'll be good too on Saturday to get, like, not just reporters' perspective, but some of these fan perspectives from what they see out there. So, it's about to step into full gear. Next week, we'll go far more in depth because pads will be on in terms of our training camp coverage and analysis and thoughts. But let's get into let's finish our series, our training camp preview series, and let's get into our final roster predictions. So I'll start off and I'll tell you guys exactly who I have making this team. At quarterback, I have Tua Tagovailoa and Jacoby Brissett. At running back, I have Miles Gaskin, Malcolm Brown, Jared Doakes, and Jordan Scarlett, though I might have to change Scarlett to Salvin Ahmed after that huge catch today that he had for a touchdown. I just think Salvin Ahmed's inability to block is eventually going to be his downfall. At the X wide receiver spot, I have Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, and Mac Hollins. Here's hoping Devontae and Preston can get off that pup list or else they have to be put on injured reserve when the season starts. In the Y in the slot, I think I got Jalen Waddle, Lynn Bowden Jr. You can also have Albert Wilson slide in there. But at the Z spot, I have Will Fuller and Albert Wilson. I think you'll be playing the boundary and in the slot. At tight end, I have Mike Gesicki, Adam Shaheen, Hunter Long, and Seathan Carter. Durham Smythe being the obvious out there. And we haven't really heard much about Durham Smythe in the first few days, so it's just something to monitor. At left tackle, I have Austin Jackson and Jesse Davis. At left guard, I have Solomon Kinley and Jermaine Illuminor. At center, I have Matt Skura, who had a rough day today, and Michael Dieter. At right guard, I have Robert Hunt. And at right tackle, I have Liam Eichenberg and DJ Fluker. And DJ Fluker just went under arthroscopic knee surgery, so he'll be out for the next 3 to 4 weeks. He's in fantastic shape, though. Moving to the defense, I have at left end Christian Wilkins and Adam Butler. For your nose tackle, defensive tackle, I have Raekwon and John Jenkins. At right end, I have Emmanuel Ogba and Zach Seiler. At Sam, I have Jalen Phillips. At the mic position, I have Bernardrick McKinney and Landon Roberts. At Will, I have Jerome Baker, Vince Beagle, Duke Riley. At the Jack position, I have Andrew Van Ginkel and Shaquem Griffin. I think Shaquem Griffin is going to be given a chance. He was a very successful pass rusher when given opportunity in Seattle. I think he'll get more of an opportunity here. I also think he'll be a very big special teams contributor. At slot, I have Justin Coleman and Nick Needham, so I do not have the newly acquired Kevon LeBlanc making the team. At corner, I have Byron Jones, Jason McCourty, Xavier Howard, and Noah Benogany. At strong safety, I have Eric Rowe and Brandon Jones. At free safety, I have Javon Holland, and I think Trill Williams will not only back up Javon Holland, but I think he'll also be a contingency plan at corner. He had a couple breakups today. At kicker, obviously, Jason Sanders. At punter, Michael Pilardi. And then kick returner and punt returner, I have Jalen Waddle, Noah Benogany, and Lynn Bowden Jr. Obviously, Jakeem Grant does not make my roster. Long snapper, I have Blake Ferguson. And then the gunners that I've selected are Mac Hollins and Trill Williams. Richmond, let's hear your roster prediction for this team.
Yeah, I checked them off. I pulled one offline. So I'll just go by position. the way they had them listed. But yep. Quarterback, I got Tua, Brissett, and Reed. I can't see this. Sunette, yeah. So I always think you normally going to go with three quarterbacks. So that was a wash for me. So let's say, okay. Running backs, I got Miles Gaskin, Malcolm Brown, Ahmed, and Doakes. Receiver, I got Devontae Parker, Preston Williams, Albert Wilson, Will Fuller, Lynn Bowden, Isaiah Ford, Robert Foster, and Jalen Waddle.
Wow, you got us carrying eight, eh?
Yeah.
Looks like we're going to need it, though, after a few days.
Bro, this was tough. I'm telling you, I was like, my goodness. I said, I'm about to get ball game for this. Tight end, I had Gesicki, Smite, Hunter Long. Left tackle, I had Austin Jackson and Jermaine Illuminor. Left guard, I got Kenley and Michael Dieter. Center, they got Skura. Right guard, Robert Hunt, DJ Fluker. Right tackle, I got Davis, Eichenberg, and DJ Fluker. And then on the defense, they did this on a 3-4 defense. So just I got Kristen Wilkins, Nick Cole. I got Raquan Davis, John Jenkins, and Benito Jones. That's at nose tackle, right? Defensive end, I got Zach.
Siler.
Okay. Adam Butler. And then Will linebacker, I got Jalen Phillips, Van Ginkle, and Vince Beagle. Left inside linebacker, Bernard McKinney and Elandon Roberts. Right inside linebacker, I got Jerome Baker. And then strong side linebacker, I got Agba and Duke Riley. And this is a couple weeks, so this is before we made the trade, I think, for the guy from Seattle. So mine's a little dated. And then let's see here. Cornerback, I got X, Noah Igbinoghi. And then at safety, I got Eric Rowe, Brandon Jones. Free safety, I got Javon Holland, Jamal Perry. And then right corner, I got Byron Jones and Jason Cordy. And then I got place kicker, Jason Sanders, punter, Michael Pilardi, and long snapper was Blake Ferguson. So you missed the ball game.
So
bring it on home.
Yeah, so I got obviously Austin Jackson and Jesse Davis at left tackle, Kenley and Illuminor at left guard, Dieter and Skura with Hunt at right guard, and Fluker and Eichenberg at right tackle. Gesicki, Long, Shaheem as the tight ends. I also carry eight wide receivers with Fuller, Parker, Williams, Waddle, Wilson, Bowden, Hollins, and I kept Grant.
Just to get under my skin.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. So Gaskins, Brown, I had Scarlett and Dokes making the team, but like Reason said, man, I may have looked pretty decent today out there catching that bomb from Tua. So
yeah,
I kind of put an asterisk next to his, and I might eliminate Grant and keep Ahmed, and then put Dokes on the practice squad. So you never know. We'll see how that all plays out. But Tua and Brissett at quarterback, I don't think they're gonna carry but two. Sinek going to be a practice squad guy, in my opinion. Then Seaton Carter at fullback with Blake Ferguson, Pilardi, and Jason Sanders as the special teams unit. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I went with left end, Wilkins and Butler. Nose tackle is Davis and Jenkins. Right end would be Agba and Siler, with outside linebacker being Van Ginkle and Beagle. Baker and Roberts being the secondary inside linebackers, and McKinney as the Mike, with Phillips and Griffin as the left outside linebackers, and left cornerback Jones, Byron, one each, with Igbinoghi backing him up, and Howard and McCourty on the opposite side with Coleman and Needham in the slot. Holland backed up by Trill Williams, who's my flex guy for corner as well. And Rowe and Byron Jones. And Brandon Jones. So
safety?
Yeah, at safety. At strong safety, yep. And free safety being Holland and Trill Williams. So
we don't really have any really big surprises. You know what I mean? Like, the only really surprise was Richmond carrying eight. Well, both of you guys carrying eight receivers.
Because, when we look at it, the situation now at this point, they already starting out the gate dinged
and
up.
You can tell it's dated because Richmond did his before we got rid of Nick Coe. So that's on my bad because we didn't record last week.
You're good, bro.
I'll take the blame for that one. So you didn't have Grant making the team, right, Richmond?
No. It's a lot of heat. I didn't have him. I think probably what's going to happen with Grant is they're probably shopping him unless he just blows it up once we put the pads on. But like you say, he just got tweaked or injured today. But I think they'd like to get something for him. So it wouldn't be surprising if they're kind of shopping him behind the scenes.
Okay, speaking of shopping,
okay,
former Arizona defensive back, I played corner in Arizona. Jared Powers came out two nights ago when he said PFF had a little offer and they said Chandler Jones for Xavien Howard in a fifth. And he said that we already offered that. We already offered X for Chandler Jones a few months ago, earlier in the year is what he said to be exact. And Arizona said no. So let me ask you guys this. And this is before, if you go back earlier in the year, Chandler Jones hadn't requested a trade yet. Let me ask you guys this. Are you about getting proven commodities back? Like Sean Payton came out yesterday, and he basically, like even the Saints official Twitter account retweeted his comments on cornerback and the need and that they're going to be looking for guys. And, they got Eric McCoy at center. They got Cesar Ruiz, who they drafted out of Michigan, who really coveted and we were going to take him at 26, and because the Saints took him earlier, we traded back to 30 and ended up taking Noah Igbinoghene. He played guard last year, but he's a true center. That's a guy they could dangle too, as well as, hey, clearly if they offered him for Chandler Jones, and I've heard that, Derek Barnett was the starting offer from the Eagles, and it's now gone up to Fletcher Cox. Clearly they want to add to the front seven. Maybe a guy like Cameron Jordan's in play. I don't know. But what would you guys, where are you guys at? Would you want draft picks for him, or do you want players like proven commodities and a draft pick?
Well, for me, because the teams that are actually calling, right, the ones that are actually in serious contention to actually make some noise deep in the playoffs, I don't want their picks. Because their picks are going to be in the upper 20s, and I'm not going to be able to land another. I could possibly take the risk of trying to land, land somebody, but nah, I'd rather a player back, somebody that I can get something out of right now, right? Because they're going to get immediate whatever he show up for them, they're going to get immediate. Immediate impact. So I want something in return back. So
yeah, and if it's draft picks, you're technically not seeing your payment for another year.
So nah, I'm good on that. It'd have to be somebody that I know can suit up for me right away and give me something instant. So,
what's your feeling on that, Richmond?
Yeah, the only thing is, and I know it's possible they could trade him, but it's just, man, if they do trade it, it just changed the whole dynamic of their defense. So I'm still kind of the mindset that I'm hoping they work it out. But if not, I have to agree with you and Ballgame that you want something immediate. Like you said, if it's most of the teams that are going to probably be in the 20s or whatever, you almost got to take that pick and group it with another pick to move up to with a pick inside the top 10. And like you said, you want something immediate. So if you do something like that, you want something, like you said, maybe a guard or something where you can – show up your offensive line, make that a little stronger or something like that. I don't think we need any receivers or anything like that. So that would be the scenario. Get something now versus waiting on a draft pick and then taking some a year later.
Right.
Mm. All right. We'll get into final thoughts, but before we do, I just want to ask you guys back to training camp. Are you guys impressed by how Tua's responded?
I don't. For me, bro, I never questioned that he was going to bounce back and that he was going to have a strong camp. I think the fact of the matter is that when you take into consideration what he didn't have from last year and the OTAs and, you know what I'm saying, and all of the time leading up to now, he didn't have any of that. He was still rehabbing. He was still trying to figure out how his body was going to respond to all that stuff. I mean, the kid's a true professional, man, so I'm not surprised at all. I think what's crazy to me is how the media, if he does something that's not necessarily the greatest, they're all over that. But then when he's done something amazing, you don't hear nothing from him. And that's the part I can't hate. Like, it's par for the course for me because I know he's going to have some good days and some bad days. And like I said, until the pads come on, all of it is just practice. You know what I mean? There's nothing – you're not able to see truly what a dog really looks like in the fight without them pads on. You know, this is one sport where you got to be in full gear to get it. So him coming out, dropping bombs in tight windows and making all these throws that he's doing, I expect that from him because I've seen him do it previously before, you know. So, and now that he's healthy, I'm expecting more of what I saw from him prior to him getting hurt in that game in college and him being a lot stronger and more mentally tough now. That's a dangerous tool. So
what do you think, Richmond, in terms of the response? Because a lot of people are real quiet on the timeline.
Yeah.
Well, the thing, and I think like Ballgame said, he's a true professional, but you know, we talked about it several episodes when it seemed like they was any reason to drag this kid through the mud, they did it, or at least attempted to. And he's always kept his mouth shut and just continued to rehab, work, this and that. I believe, you know, it's largely in part due to his family connection, how close they are, his faith, and that he's more of a guy that, you know, he probably knowed everything that was said, but he said, I'm working on getting healthy so I can show you what I can do. And he's already showed that, you know, at one point they were saying he didn't have a strong arm. And he's, you know, 265-yard touchdowns. And like you said, we knew his capabilities just from watching him at Alabama even before the injury. So, like I said, the key thing is he's showing that he has the skill set. The guys up front, it's just that got to give him the time to execute and hit the receivers and stuff that we have. And this can be really special. So that's why I'm waiting to see how the pads come on, because if they're not doing their job up front, I don't want everybody saying, you know, well, he can't do this and that. Everything starts up front. You got to have time to do that. So that's where my focus is going to be, is on the offensive line once the pads come on.
Thanks.
All right, man. Let's go through some final thoughts. Ballgame, we'll start with you.
Move to $4 million. Get the man happy. Put the egos to the side. Do what's best for the organization. Pass your own individual issues with the player or whatever his representation, whatever the case may be. I mean, it's bigger than just individuals. And if you're talking about and you're going to be about team, then Flores also needs to see that. And Flores and Greer also need to understand that as well. Although they don't go down there and put on the pads, man, it's all one team. And there's no I in that. So everybody's got to dial it back. Look at it for what it is, and this is a unique opportunity to keep happy your best player and not take away from this defense that can be one of possibly the best ever assembled in the last 15, 20 years. It'd be a shame to mess that up, bro. Like, legitimately, I see this defense being remembered in history as one of the best ever assembled. And for them to be this close on the precipice of that and then almost – about to mess it up, man, just heartbreaks. It's heartbreaking when you think about it, but the business is the business, and it's ugly at times, but, you know, it doesn't have to be if you get the egos and the emotions out of it. So,
Your final thoughts, Richmond?
Yeah, I agree with ball game. I think the thing is if they can get this worked out, like you said, when you have a defense that can pick up where they left off last year and continue to do the things that they're doing, and then the way your quarterback has started out, you know, just the first couple of days, but if once the pass go on and he continues to progress, and then, you know, the offensive line, everything steps up, this is an opportunity that, you know, barring injury at key positions, this can really be a significant season for the Dolphins, and not just playoffs, but go deep into playoffs if everything continues to progress as what you expect. So when you get this close, it's so hard to, you know, get to the playoffs and then go deep in the playoffs. And when you have an opportunity and you see you got this type of skill set and this type of talent and stuff on the team, and it can be a special one, man, you don't let opportunities like this slide by. But I just want to see – I know we got a few guys tweet this and that. If we get this contract situation worked out and then, you know, get the guys back healthy and keep making progress, I think we're gonna have. I think it's gonna be a lot of happy Dolphin fans, and we'll have a bunch of them jump on the bandwagon. But that's okay. But that's what my focus is. Is when you got something this good, you know, you don't mess that up. So yeah.
Yeah, I can't wait till next week, man. I'm so excited for the Pats to come on, and I just want to see this trajectory continue. That's all I want to see. I want to see this ride into the season. So, I mean, couldn't be more excited. I wish I wasn't having to watch my kid right now with my wife studying for her final exam. But, I mean, it is what it is, because I would have loved to have been down there for it. So, anyways, all right, guys, we will be back next week, and we will go further in depth into training camp because the pads will be on. If anything new develops with Xavier Howard, we'll clearly be talking about that as well. Until then, we hope everyone stays happy, healthy, safe, and blessed. Fins up all day, every day.